Cannonball Adderley and a bunch of really great sidemen with something called This Here, except he cautions it's not to be pronounced that way. It's supposed to be pronounced Dish Here. So I obey. That's This Here, featuring Julian Edwin Cannonball Adderley on alto sax, his brother Nat on cornet, Bobby Timmons on piano, and Lewis Hayes on drums. This was a kind of milestone album in that it was recorded live at the Jazz Workshop in San Francisco, and the idea was to record in a natural environment, including all of the reactions of the audience and so forth. This was the first time this was done this way on purpose. So there you are. It's called Dish Here. This Here is Lead Stories, and I'm Eutrice Lead. And we're talking about President Chaos today. All kinds of things are happening, and they're not necessarily good. And they kind of create a sense that people cannot really expect logic from this administration. Logic and order and stability and things like that that you kind of value. It's not going to be surprising to anybody that you will have a lot of bumps, because this is the kind of atmosphere in which you get them. But this is just amazing. As a poll and ratings-obsessed individual, you'd think Donald Trump would worry that he and his administration are down to the mid-30s right now in terms of popularity among Americans. But no, it doesn't seem to faze President Chaos, who clearly is obsessed with fighting Barack Obama's ghost. We'll be talking about that, and in the second half, we'll also include an extended conversation about Trump's anti-Obama agenda betraying something I think it's not hard to believe, and that is, he has no plans. He has nothing ready to begin to present as a cogent plan for consideration. The only plan right now that Donald Trump and his administration have, the only thing that they're doing and causing Americans to concentrate their attention on, is applying the axe to President Obama's legacy, legislative legacy, such as it was. But surely that can't be enough. But it is the agenda. Trump's agenda, Trump's national and, for that matter, international agenda right now is just tearing Obama, the Obama administration's, I guess you could call them achievements, legislative achievements, tearing them apart, tearing them down. And that is what suffices as a national agenda. We're supposed to be satisfied with that. And, you know, there's so many ironies here, because he's doing a lot of this by executive order. None of this is coming via the will of Congress or the input of Congress. None of it is going that route. Most all of this is being done by executive order and presidential fiat. The irony is that many of the things that he is tackling, Trump is tackling, also became law by executive order, including Obamacare. This was not a full a fully fledged effort. This was President Obama, who did a lot of things by executive order, who decided that he was going to do an end run around Congress, and then kept insisting that it was Congress that would not cooperate with either him or the Democrats, and he was just going to resort to whatever means were necessary for him to get done this progressive agenda of his. Now we have his successor applying the same tricks of executive orders to change the law, to change the way things are done. Look, we know what politics is. We know that in politics you find all kinds of slimy things happening. But I'm asking us to look at politics, at least from a theoretical point of view, which is that it should be an all-inclusive effort. It should include Congress. I mean, that's why it was set up. It should include Congress. There is a process by which things become law or policy. But increasingly, we see that presidents are not very much interested in following these rules, and absolutely not President Chaos. His thing is, I want to do what I want to do, and it's going to be done this way. You don't like it? Tough noogies. But I'm making the law. I am the law. The whole framework of politics, the whole idea of how bills should become laws, and all of these things have been set. They've been set down in writing so that there's no doubt about the commitment as a whole to a government of laws. We do things by the book. Presidents, of course, don't like being checked. They don't like when their efforts are thwarted or frustrated. And so they learn this neat little trick of using executive privilege. And under the color of executive orders, they basically get a lot of things done that actually belong within the purview of Congress and the people elected to determine the laws. It's a renegade operation. And we saw that Barack Obama did that quite a lot. In fact, this whole bill, this Obamacare, that's how it was passed. He did a lot of things under executive order, including declaring wars and military incursions and whatnot under executive law, executive privilege. That's not the way it was supposed to work. It wasn't designed to be that way. The whole idea of having a democracy is that all these, you know, you hear the cliche all the time about systems of checks and balances. Well, that's what it is, a system of checks and balances. So that we don't end up with a despot or a tyrant or an emperor or an imperial majesty who thinks that the country is his personal possession and private property. And, well, if he thinks something is a good idea, it therefore is a good idea. There's no reason to even contest it. This is how this country has been run for way too long. But certainly under Trump, we see an absolute, not just dedication, an obsession with it. In the mind of Donald Trump, we, the people, are just kind of incidental. We're just incidental to this whole process. We really don't matter. Because being as brilliant as he is, singularly so, he therefore can make only wise decisions. He cannot make, he's infallible, the infallible president. He can make no mistakes. And he sees to it that everybody understands that. He has no use really for the Republican Party as such, because he has problems with them, because there are way too many Republicans who don't particularly like his brand of politics, which says that he can do whatever he wants. He does not need to consult with anybody. He does not need to put anything to a vote. He just decides, well, this is what I want to do. And it should be all right. And because I want to do it, it is, by fact, okay. There's no reason to contest it. There's no reason to question it. Just accept it. And so all of the people of the United States are kind of like, nuisances. They should understand his approach is correct. And his approach is he's running. The United States is just another corporation. You know, it's really not a living, breathing organism called a country. It is just a corporation. And you can fix things on paper and, you know, move things around, and you come up with ideas that should facilitate the end result, whatever that is, because nobody knows what that is. Because there's nothing there to suggest that actually is a plan. This president presents a plan that forecasts what he would like to do, and that gets integrated in a plan for a budget. And then we go the typical route of arguing about the budget, arguing about budget items, and so forth, the way we used to do it. The way we used to do it, because that's how the law is. The law says that's how it's supposed to be done. And that's therefore the way it has been done for a very long time. Trump says, no, I know what's best, and don't question me. I don't have the patience for it. But there's something particularly nasty and vengeful about this president. And as you know, I'm not a diehard fan of Barack Obama by any means. I don't think he was a good president. And I think he betrayed the trust of the millions and millions of people who invested in his candidacy, not once, but twice. I think he was an awful president. But this one, President Chaos, is venal, vengeful, full of venom. And you can see how his mentality informs what he does. We have not yet seen from this president and his so-called administration anything that looks like a cogent plan. You know, the way it normally happens. It's one thing to talk all that gibberish on the campaign trail. But the expectation is that when you become president and you are fully vested and you are in a position now to change the course of the country and you have the power and authority to do so, to spearhead a different path, that all of this is happening according to a plan. He has not presented a plan. He's talked a lot of crap. There is no plan. And because there is no concrete, cogent, thought-out, written plan that addresses all of these issues that he talked about on the campaign trail, because there is no plan, there is distraction. And the greatest distraction is attacking Barack Obama. The ghost of Barack Obama is on this man, and he can't get rid of it. He won't get rid of it. But it is very convenient because a lot of this turmoil centers on the pseudo plan, which is all my time and attention and everything is going to be taken up fighting Obama's ghost, the policies that he enacted, especially the policies that were well received by people I don't like, so-called liberals and progressives. And on the world scene, there are many countries like this climate change plan. You know, Trump is not a Democrat with a small d. He is a hard right-winger and a non-thinking one. He doesn't even think. I mean, if he had a plan, even as a right-of-center leader, you could say, well, I could see where he's going. But the fact is, you don't know where he's going because he doesn't know where he's going from day to day. The previous administration, if you really look at it, that's all he's been doing since he got in. That's all he's been doing. And he's getting people all worked up into believing that that is a plan. In and of itself, that's a plan. Let's see. What did the Obama administration accomplish? Whatever it is, I'm against it. It's like that Groucho Marx song. Whatever it is, I'm against it. Even if I am the one who first commenced it, I'm against it. This is all we have. And with that comes incredible chaos. I mean, we haven't seen this kind of insanity ever. Nobody knows what's happening. Everybody is in a state of flux. Everybody is in panic mode because they don't know what the heck is coming down the pike. What does the President Chaos feel like this morning? What does he feel like doing? What is this, the new complaint he has about Barack Obama, who has gone on and is minding his business and doing whatever it is he's supposed to be doing? You can't base your whole administration. I mean, you can't tell me that this is your plan. We have not been shown a plan. It seems okay with the Republicans, but here's the really bad part. The Democrats don't seem to object, really, except that, well, you know, Barack Obama was a homeboy and a Democrat, and they take offense on that level. But they themselves have no plan except to react to Trump's plan, and Trump has no plan but to react against Barack Obama's Obama's plan. That's what's happening. Nobody has plans that have been delineated and written down in cogent fashion that can be presented as a serious consideration of the new administration, what it intends to do. And so that your ideas and your plan could then go through the next step of deep inquiry and inspection. So people could figure out whether you are absolutely stark raving mad or whether this plan looks pretty good. It is not enough, and we should not believe that it is enough. We have come to believe this, by the way, because the news people aren't demanding to know what is Mr. Trump's plan. Where is it? Yeah, we know you hate Obama. We got that. Yes, we know you're going to tackle everything Obama did. We know that. Where's your own plan? Where is your considered plan? So that as a nation, we can get an idea of where it is you intend to go and whether we should let you get there and whether we are going to go there with you. Now, that's how you operate when you understand that you are a president and not a despot, not an autocrat, not an emperor. The people do need to know. And curiously, the demand is not there, not even from Democrats. Not even from the independents. Everybody is calibrated toward what Donald Trump feels like doing today. What he says today. What he did today. And it is always about Barack Obama. And what Obama did that he intends to destroy. And he uses words like that, obliterate, destroy, dismantle, these kinds of words. You know, he is truly in need of some therapy, about 30 years worth. It would help him a little bit. So we are a country with no plan. And this gives Donald Trump, who is accustomed to having no plan, comfortable with no plan except I'm attacking the other guy's plan. That's my plan. It is, in fact, a distraction. And it gives him wide berth to do whatever the heck he wants to do. Well, it seems one of the things that he wants to do is introduce the concept of the triumvirate. He has put his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and his daughter, Kushner's wife, Ivanka Trump, in the White House. They don't have, quote, official titles, unquote. But in effect, they're running the country. They're going to be running the country. Everybody is okay with it in Congress, it seems. But that's not really what the people had intended. You know, in their minds, they elect a singular, a president. There's no concept about a president and co-presidents. There's a president and a vice president. He installs his daughter and his son-in-law. Of course, naturally, like Donald, they're brilliant beyond belief. They have the expertise that is needed to turn this silly country around and bring it back to its senses. So that with these two who are related to him and himself as the brilliant president, we have a triumvirate. We weren't looking, but it has happened. And I'm wondering, well, is it just me or is this something in the water? That all these highly irregular things are happening, and the people are just tolerating it. But we can't look to the Democrats, we can't look to the independent parties because they are saying nothing relevant to our current reality. They're still stuck in theoretical, talking. What should happen and blah, blah, blah. There's no movement. There is no hard movement against this situation. And I wonder about that. I wonder. Even Obama himself has said, hey, I'm out. You figure it out from here. I'm not bothered. Whatever you do, you just do. Why is he taking that position? The party that supposedly backed him for 8 years, the party of which he was the titular head, has not come out fighting and swinging hard. They're letting President Chaos just rule everything. What we're thinking, what we believe, and most certainly, we believe that he is going to do the right job. But right now, look at it. Asking you, am I lying? There is no plan. They've been talking, but more importantly, what they have been doing is that the high-profile people in Trump's administration are doing exactly what the high-profile people in Obama's administration did. They're looking out for number one. They're positioning themselves for lucrative positions where, beyond Trump, they will continue to make a lot of money. They're situating themselves not just this quest isn't domestic anymore. This is a global thing. Look at all these people who are surfacing now, including his son-in-law. They are global. Hillary Clinton's administration, everybody was an entrepreneur. Global. Global thievery and corruption. That's what they're doing. So you can't do that and construct a plan at the same time. You have to do one or the other. So they're doing the other. And that's why we have no plan. We don't have a plan from Donald Trump. We don't have plans from the opposition. We're screwed with a capital F. I'll take this break, come back to your calls at 888-874-4888 right after this. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead. We're talking about President Chaos and the fact that he doesn't have a plan. His plan is whatever he feels like doing when he wakes up in the morning, or plans that people like Steve Bannon and other so-called advisors give him, say, here's a plan. And then it becomes a plan for then and there. But there is no formal projection as to where this country is going to be going. But there is clearly an obsession, an absolute obsession with tearing apart Barack Obama's legislative legacy and policy, and so that we become distracted. And by the way, I don't need to leave out the racism of it all. And that is, on one level, this is one politician fighting another politician. On another level, it is not to be forgotten that this racial element is staring us right in the face, where we have Donald Trump really steamed at the fact that many of the accomplishments of Barack Obama in terms of policy, the policies that he wants to address and destroy, many of those were from the nation's first black president. He's hell-bent on destroying that. Your calls at 888-874-4888. And we should take a look at this because, you know, this is how people get over a really astute use of media and of mind control. We are so caught up in the day-to-day chaos that is created when people behave this way or implement this kind of erratic plan, that we're not paying attention to what is really happening. From Edgewater, E, you're on the air.
Hi, Eutrice.
Hello.
Hope you're feeling well today and getting better every day.
I'm thinking so myself. Thank you.
That's great. Yeah, I have to agree. We're watching like some kind of a presidential apprentice reality TV show. And that's what the party's playing is regular part that he's been doing since the 80s, I guess. And all he has to do is do what he's told to do by the system. Remember, the system's running the show, not these cast of characters. They're just the mouthpieces, and they're doing what they're told to do. And if they don't go along with the plans that they have, then they get big trouble. So that's what I was trying to illustrate with Hillary, how they, what extent they go through to get somebody, to take somebody out and have a person like Hillary Clinton as the patsy. No, they're all like Lee Harvey Oswald, except they're part of the system and they know what they're supposed to do, where he didn't know what was going. He was just a pure patsy, and then they could kill him afterwards, and he would take all the blame. Here they want to keep these people going because they keep taking blames. So she was senator. They got rid of Kennedy, nip him in the bud because they don't want a young Kennedy. He would have probably been running for president this election if he hadn't been taken out in 2000. And then she has to be senator for 6 years, and then Obama can make her Secretary of State, and she can go over to Libya and cause all kinds of problems with Benghazi, not making sure it was. But this is all by design. It's not protected well. And then four people get murdered. And who takes the blame? Not the system. Hillary takes the blame. She
but in the current situation with Donald Trump, do you get a sense that there's a cogent plan that the people kind of are in on, that we get a sense and appreciation, whether we agree or don't agree with the plan? That are you aware of a plan?
Yeah, I'm aware of a plan, but you know, you have to go out on the ledge and be and stand there where the rocks could like fall, and then you could go crashing to the ground. But the plan I see is they're forcing people to have health care. Why are they so concerned with our health all of a sudden? There were free flu shots. Anything the government's going to give you for free, you got to stay away from, right? That cheese and the flu shots. And this stuff is all designed to keep us controlled, and they know they're in denial of global warming, but I don't believe it, and I'm not believing any of this stuff that comes out of their mouths. I think they're fully aware that the creek is going to rise, and there's going to be half as much food and water. So that means there'll only be enough to take care of half the population. So they have to control it, get rid of people, and that's where vaccines come in also, that the design, that the children that they're giving these vaccines to grow bigger and stronger for the first 50 years, so they're good slaves to the system. And then when they get to like 55, they start getting ill, and they have, and by 60, they're checking out, so there's no need for Social Security. This is the master plan to keep us
all right.
They gave us quite a bit
to think about. So thanks for getting us started today with the calls. 888-874-4888. Brad from Long Island, you're on the air.
Hello, Eutrice. How are you?
I understand what you're saying. How about you?
Relatively well. Got a little heart chest pain.
Oh, well.
Otherwise, I'm in very good shape.
Okay. Okay. So what is your thought about where President Chaos is taking us or has already taken us?
Well, there's maybe more chaos than we're remembering. I agree with you. There's not much of a plan here that we see or hear of. I think there are undercurrents or other things going on that not so many people are that aware of. Now, here's something I saw in the news this morning, and I've been hearing something related to it. All along, for some years, I've been on involved in something. Anyway, Qatar is going to help England with like $3.5 billion, help their economy. Why? I think bigger plans are coming, and I think there's a bigger plan for the Middle East to grow some wings. And I know that we have a whole lot to do with it, not just America. Many nations, it's quite a project and there's quite a lot going on. But here as a policy, I don't see a big policy formula like you're saying that this administration has. The only thing I have to remind us is I think we've been hearing that Obama has taken steps recently to kind of sabotage or curtail some of the things Trump may or may or shouldn't do or want to do. I don't know if this is true or not, but if it is, it's certainly stuff that you would think Trump would have to either defend against or take an offensive stance against. And I just don't know, but maybe it's true, and maybe we shouldn't be having people like this getting in office. This is one of our feelings. I'd rather have a true statesman, and I don't see Trump as a true statesman. I'm not here to say bad things about him. I actually did a contract for him years ago. But maybe bigger things will come, like when Trump says there will be trillions coming into the economy, there's also talk of a lot of worldwide banking is going to be cleaned up, such as you can't lend somebody $100 if you have 10 in your bank. Now, Christine Lagarde and the International Monetary Fund said, well, wait a minute, you should have $20 in your bank. So that's half the damage. It's better protective of the world economy, if you will, or local economies that are going to participate in this. But then if we have all this little better banking, a little better structure and better computer security and things like when you do international transactions, it can be taken care of within a minute. It didn't used to be that way, and there was more room for crime. The only thing is they're saying, well, there is one little niche in the United States that perhaps there is. I won't say that there is. I don't exactly know. Perhaps there's a niche where we want better financial security worldwide for everybody. Okay, good. So all nations to participate, all corporations, all individuals, but you got to do a little cleaner business. But, and I'm saying perhaps, not definitely, I think, And I've heard some talk about there may be a niche in the United States of America where you can come and do some investing and banking or park your money that isn't quite so traceable or, you know, not that it's not legit, but it's a little more risky and you can make a lot more. That's a form of bringing a whole bunch of possibly a form that may get people worldwide here and there to bring more money here, which is something that rolled out of his lips. He said, oh, we're going to bring trillions. Maybe that's what he's talking about.
Yeah,
maybe,
he's been talking about all the jobs that he's going to be generating, and they haven't materialized. And by the way, the whole idea of this coal, you know, the change that he has made or intends to make with respect to the policy that Barack Obama successfully worked out on trying to limit these emissions from coal. The head of the coal, the leading coal producer in the United States, has said there's no way that the miners will come back. There's no way that this industry is going to bounce back. He said that. But then we have Donald Trump preaching that reversing the Obama policy will generate thousands and thousands and thousands of jobs. The head, the key guy in the industry says that's not going to happen. So we're being snookered.
It's coal,
a lot for
oil, and even nuclear, because we have new technologies that are way past all this. But damn it, if they're not going to keep these camps open and market this stuff while it's still around, do you think these nations with all this oil, America, United States being one of them, do you think we're just going to sit on this oil and not sell it? Not true.
Well, we'll see. Well, the whole idea is to pay attention to what is going on. And what is going on is there is no plan right now. The nation has not been presented with a plan, except there is a plan, and it is whatever Trump says when he wakes up in the morning. Thanks so much for your call, Brad. Willie from Brooklyn, you're on the air. Hello, Willie. You're on the air.
Yes, Futures. How are we doing?
Okay. How about you?
Can you hear me? I am fine.
I can't hear you too well. You're not coming through too well.
Let me go in a quieter place. Yeah. Can you hear me better?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, you raised the question. How can we know or do better? We already have a plan in my judgment. You know, I really have the least concern on what they're doing. I have no concern because they're going to do what they want to do. Now, the question is, what do we do? That's something that we have control over. Now,
that's been my question, too. What do we do?
Well, we have an excellent start. We have PRM. We could make a political party out of it. We could make it a station that teaches the whole nation. According to Gary, we have about 27 million people listening worldwide. But I think we should have 300 million listening in America. What simple things? A simple thing we could do that don't cost us any more money is simple. The money you're paying for them to tell you, oh, listen, what we're telling you is fake. And you're paying them to insult your intelligence and your decency. That don't make, I just can't wrap my mind around that. That don't make no kind of sense. I know whenever you do a story, whenever Gary does a story, whenever Wolf does a story, I don't have a double check because I've been listening for years and you guys are not liars. So why not take the money you would send to the cable company and send to PRN? And the other thing that we have to do, we have to be an advertising agent for this station. You see what I'm saying? Now, whatever, start with me. I know I ain't got no sense. But you, the people at PRN, I listen to every day. Now, I know we have some of the finest mind in the country. So whatever you say do, we do. And we follow you. But we let you make this decision among yourselves because, you all have the brains over there. So whatever you say do, we do. But we have an excellent start. We cannot have a better one. Can you think of a better start than what Algarra already put in place for us?
Well, it's an idea, definitely. I appreciate your sentiments about that, the idea of supporting things that, in fact, support you. I mean, that is a longstanding ideal. And hopefully, people will consider your suggestion and support PRN because it does support everybody with good, solid information. Thanks, Willie, for your call. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
How are you, Therese? Good afternoon. It's
Thank
always
you.
Good to hear your voice. I have a kind of a different view of this. You see, all the things that are going on with President Trump gets people's attention away from the mission that has remained the same and does remain the same. The mission is to enrich the oligarchs at the Everest of this society and the plutocrats with them, and that has not changed one bit. And it seems to be working well, very well. The masses of the what I call little people, they fall for the okey-doke, demonizing immigrants or Mexicans or black folks and whatnot, and doing all the things that get attention away from the fundamental mission of what's going on in this country, where the oligarchs control the politics, the economics, and the judiciary, all levers of government, and get the people in the stages where they are in near poverty or in poverty and enrich themselves. And that's exactly what is happening. Even though Trump is not the usual type of a person who talks like, other presidents, and he does all these things that he has been doing that gets a lot of attention and enrolls certain people. But the fundamental plan is, number one, divide and conquer and enrich the ruling class that runs this place, and it's working. It's on steroids now. That's the way I see it.
But surely, there would be some people, especially in government, who would understand that this is the mission, as you call it, and would be counted on to oppose, to fight it. Do you get a sense that anybody, A, knows what Trump is up to and is okay with the fact that there's no plan, and B, that they have very little to say in the way of opposition?
Well, here's the way I look at it. Most of these people, for example, in Congress, I look at them as mostly vassals. And there may be a few mavericks in there. Now and then you'll get a maverick. And when that maverick shows up or lets him or herself be seen, there is a process of eliminating that person, like Cynthia McKinney or Dennis Kucinich or anyone like that. So, but most of the people toe the line. And that's what you have here. I mean, these people in Congress, the little people here, they think that those Congress people represent their interests. They don't represent their interests. They represent the interests of those people at the commanding heights. And every once in a while, they throw you a little election to make you seem like you are in a small d democracy, and you certainly aren't. So, you know, it's trickery. I mean, these people are brilliant. These ruling class people are brilliant, where a small number of them can control so many others and have others supporting them against their own interests. I mean, it takes a brilliant mind to do that. And every once in a while, they make some changes. You get more people of color in the Congress and whatnot. But the objective conditions of, for example, black people haven't improved over the years. You just have others of color getting into certain places and saying, oh, isn't that nice? We got a black president now, or a black senator, or some congressperson. But the conditions, the wealth has remained the same. So they are just brilliant in what they do to maintain control and get people's attention away from things that they should be concentrating on. And everybody should be concentrating on one thing. The mission of these people is to enrich themselves at the expense of the vast majority of people who live in this country.
Thank you. Thank you for your call today. From Chicago, Henry, you have the last word today.
Hey, Richard, how's it going?
Okay, how's by you?
All right, all right. I want to echo what David said in regards to, you know, the system being in control. I think everybody focuses too much on the personality of Donald Trump, but I think there's a much more sinister plan going on behind the scenes. But, you know, I tend to disagree with it not being a plan. I think there is a plan. We just don't know about it. And I think the plan comes to, you know, to, it's a two-tier plan. And it doesn't include non-white people, and it doesn't include poor people. So if you do not fall in the category of rich white people, you are not part of the plan. So I feel that he's not telling us anything because of the fact that we're not part of it. So, you know, that's my basic conclusion on Donald Trump's.
But even so, you know, I mean, part of the strategy would be, even if you have a secret plan, you would want to keep people in your fold, and you would want to give them hope, if only to misdirect them, you know, and to give them the illusion that you're still with them. But he doesn't seem to be doing that.
Oh, well, I mean, I do think that he is throwing out a couple of, you know, tokenism out there in regards to, you know, throwing a bone to certain, you know, certain groups of people just to, you know, keep the order. I know a couple of weeks ago you guys were talking about that, and I'm still thinking Donald Trump is going to throw a bone to us somehow, some way, and it's going to, you know, kind of quell the chaos a little bit. Whereas we, you know, we can say, okay, everything, you know, most of the country could say, okay, everything's back in order now. We can go back to our normal lives. And, you know, next thing you know, here comes another executive order. So I feel it's coming, you know, and, you know, everybody's going to be, you know, thinking that everything is okay and dandy. And then the next round of chaotic moves from this guy is going to start popping up afterwards.
Thanks for your call. And that brings us to the end of our program today. Thank you all for chiming in. Of course, pay attention, because this is going to be done for a little bit longer, until there is no way to avoid not having a plan. Stay tuned. Coming up next, The Infectious Myth with David Crowe. You can reach me at leadstories, L-E-I-D, stories at gmail.com. As always, a pleasure and a great privilege to be in your company. We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.